Back in December 2021, a dozen eggs cost an average of $1.78. But today, eggs have had a staggering increase of 138% in the US. Now the sticker shock isn't limited to just eggs, but also beef. I'm Christy I, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we'll be breaking down the soaring prices for basic food items and the rising cost of eggs. Outbreaks of the highly pathogenic avian influenza have killed over 60 million hens since February 2021, which is more than 5% of the U.S. chicken flock. Now, this particular strain of bird flu seems to be lasting longer and is taking a heavier toll, beating the prior record set in 2015 when about 50 million birds died. Egg production has also declined by 6.7% since 2021, and the Department of Agriculture also reported that egg inventories across the country were 29% lower in December of 2022 than the start of the year. If just one bird is infected among a flock, then all of the hens must be killed in order to avoid an even greater spread. Farms have to shut down ventilation and turn up the heat in sheds to further prevent the spread. And once a farm suffers a flu outbreak, it is likely it won't produce eggs again for at least 6 months. Now, this dynamic is happening simultaneously across multiple farms and supermarkets. While bird flu is partially to blame for the rising cost of eggs, one group is alleging the trend is also due to something more nefarious than simple economics. The industry narrative has largely focused on the historic outbreak of bird flu and pointed to that as the primary driver of those higher prices. But Farm Action, a farmer-led advocacy group, claims that the real culprit is a collusive scheme among major egg producers to fix and gouge prices. The organization has penned a letter to the Federal Trade Commission calling for an investigation, claiming that major egg producers have been able to extract egregious profits, reaching as high as 40%. The organization has pointed to Cal-Maine Foods, the nation's largest egg producers and industry bellwether, to reported a tenfold increase in profits over the 26 weeks ended November 26th. Meanwhile, Cal-Maine insists that their price hikes have been in line with inflation and the rising cost of transportation, as well as the global price rise in seeds and the prices of feeds used to raise laying hens. During the prior bird flu outbreak in 2015, wholesale egg prices rose about 6 to 8% for every 1% decrease in the number of egg-laying hens. Today, though, prices have increased about 15% for every 1% decrease in egg-laying hens of the last year. Now, this shortage is worldwide, with Europe and Asia also seeing an egg price rise over 9% in the past year. Outbreaks in Sweden, Italy, and Hungary, all of which are major producers, have forced authorities to prohibit the export and movement of poultry. So now let's bring in Amy Smith, Vice President of Advanced Economic Solutions, for more on this pricey issue. So how long is this avian influenza supposed to last? Are we expecting it to die down anytime soon?
If I knew how viruses acted, then, you know, there would be, we'd be able to figure out a lot of things, right? But I don't know how long it's supposed to last, especially when we're talking in the U.S. If you look back, it's some historical data in Europe. They've been dealing with this since, I think, late 2020, maybe early 2021. And you know, most of this appears to be of similar strains. So I'm not too confident that it's at least not going to be going away until maybe the end of the spring, but we could continue to see it, move through into next fall. Obviously, it tends to maybe go slightly dormant in the summertime, which kind of allows producers to perhaps breathe a sigh of relief, but then still, you know, peaks back up in September, October, when we have further wild bird migrations during that time.
Now, which country is being impacted the most by high egg prices, and which country has the highest demand for egg consumption?
I would say for the most part, most countries are being impacted because you see a lot of, you know, imports and exports from, you know, one country into another. And some of that stuff has been, you know, either restricted or there's not enough availability in one country for another country. You're seeing it probably a lot more impacted in Europe. I think we're starting to see infections in places like Asia and South America, Central America. So, you know, I think a lot of, you know, consumers across the globe are really starting to feel that pinch, especially since, you know, eggs really are a staple for most people's diets. It's not something that's super, you know, there's not a big substitute for, you know, eggs in most places. So, you know, I think that's certainly part of the reason why we've seen such a, you know, what's the right word? Why we've seen such a big, you know, push around, you know, media and eggs over the last, I'd say, month or so. And then from which country has the highest demand? You know, I didn't know the answer to that. I started to look a little bit into it. The Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations has some information on that. I think most of it's just through 2021 information, but I think the Netherlands, which is a really small country, they go through like 330 eggs per capita per person a year. That's about an egg a day on average, you know, a little less than that. I think Japan's somewhere close to that. Mexico's probably somewhere close to an egg a day. So, you know, 360 to 380. And then to compare that, the U.S. is somewhere around a 280.
Now, I thought the United States would have higher prices since we are a very high baking country producing lots of breads, cakes, and all that.
I actually thought so too, but it looks like it has declined a little bit the last few years. We did see a bit of a spike in 2020, which kind of makes some sense because there was a lot of people at home cooking and they made, you know, eggs for breakfast, whereas a lot of people, you know, going back to work, maybe they grab a protein bar or something like that. So and that's again why there's such high demand for eggs in this country at the holiday. You know, everybody wants to make those fun desserts and treats and all that, you know, for their holiday guests and stuff.
Are chicken and poultry prices also being impacted by bird flu, or is it more so affecting the laying hens and specifically the eggs?
Yeah, that's a good question. Primarily here in the U.S., it's been, you know, egg layers and turkeys. You know, we've seen some, you know, ducks. We don't have a lot of commercial ducks in this country, but if you look in at like Europe, it's been pretty impactful for ducks, because I think France is a big duck producer. And so it's impacted turkey prices. I mean, we saw turkey prices surge here in the US somewhere close to 60% last year. It has started to back off a little bit, but I mean, we're still at some pretty historical highs, which has also impacted the US's exports of turkey. Because other countries have either restricted buying turkey or that it's just so expensive, other countries, you know, don't want to buy it because it's too expensive. Other, you know, broilers, which are actually chickens that are raised for chicken meat, so things like your boneless, skinless breasts, thigh meats, you know, that sort of thing, has not been as impacted here in the U.S. We did see one commercial flock in Mississippi impacted a couple of days ago. So it kind of puts, you know, that, because that part of the country, Mississippi in the Southeast, is a really big producer of broiler meat chicken. So it puts a little, you know, probably a little concern in some of those producers' minds about, oh, what's to come? But, you know, you compare how many have been impacted total. We've got 44.4 million layers impacted. 9.8 million turkeys impacted, but under 3 million broilers have been impacted over the last 12 months.
What causes the surge of avian flu this year, and how is it different than the prior years? Are we expected to have this phenomenon happen every couple of years? Because it seems like this is a very recent trend.
Yeah, I mean, the last time the U.S. saw it, you know, impact huge, it was 2015. You know, we saw infections that spring, and then I think it was mid-June or so, it stopped and didn't return. So clearly, you know, I think we all learned a lot about viruses during COVID, right? So, you know, it clearly mutated and has changed some things. And it's definitely more of an aggressive or, aggressive virus. I think we're starting to see, or we have seen wild birds that are, that are carriers of it, but not necessarily having symptoms of it. So if they're carrying it and you don't know they have it, they can still spread it. So, you know, I think we're starting to see more and more of that. I know the EU came out, I think it was this summer, and said something along the lines of they believe that this is something that's endemic within their wild bird population. And to me, that really just says that, okay, it's endemic, it's not going to go away. And this is something that, you know, commercial, you know, bird producers are going to need to deal with. And I'm really starting to think that that's the case here in the US as well. So I don't think it's going away, at least until, you know, it does some sort of mutating and changes its course in terms of, you know, how it is spread.
Is it really shocking to see how high the prices of eggs are today?
Yeah, it has. I mean, I think the biggest thing is we saw, so the eggs that, you know, you purchase in a grocery store is obviously it's just a shell egg or a table egg is what we call it. You know, those prices from a market standpoint surged to well above $5. And that happened during, you know, November, December time period when they're probably one of their highest demand time periods. You see Easter and then you see the holidays when the demand is huge. And we didn't see retailers actually take increases during that time. I think retailers were selling that product at a loss leader in order to bring, you know, consumers into their grocery stores. But then as soon as the holidays were over, they, you know, these retailers like, okay, we can't take any more losses on this. We have to increase the prices. And so I think that was such a shock to the consumer where they were seeing, you know, $3.99, $4.99 eggs. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, double that, you know, like that. So normally it takes about probably 3 to 5 weeks for, you know, market impacts to maybe translate into a grocery store, especially on something that's a little more perishable like eggs. But that didn't happen this time because, you know, these retailers were still trying to drive traffic into their stores.
Thank you so much, Amy Smith. Amy will stick around with us because when we come back, we will analyze why there is a drop on beef sales, even in countries like Argentina, where the consumption is so embedded in their culture. Don't go away.
Братуха, одного бандерлога на пятом наблюдаю.
Что там ходит? Давай.
Продолжаю то, что деды начали. Защищай свою семью, свою историю, ценности наши.
И те, кто сейчас есть и воюет, это, конечно, ребят, которые держатся на волевых усилиях.
Welcome back to The Cost of Everything. The world's consumers have been cutting back on meat since the early days of the pandemic in order to save on costs. In 2022, the drop in demand started with beef. And while it is quite common to see meat sales slide during economic downturns, what is interesting is that demand is falling faster in many of the countries where beef has traditionally been the protein of choice. In Argentina, beef is tightly woven into the national culture, and even in previous recessions, beef has been resilient. However, recent soaring prices in the nation have forced consumers to trade down to chicken, which is now the country's top protein. In Argentina, the government sees a drop of more than 2% for beef. In the U.S., a 5% drop is expected. Uruguay has the title of the world's biggest carnivore on a per capita basis. However, because beef prices rose by more than 19% over the last 6 years, while pig and poultry prices fell by 0.8% and 10% respectively at the same time, consumption of chicken and pork went up while beef fell. Meanwhile, in the U.S., the Department of Agriculture found that in 2022, there was a 91.9 million headcount of cattle and calves in the U.S., which is down 2% from the year prior. This is its third straight yearly drop, and fewer cattle means more expensive meat. Prices for beef are 9.6% higher than this time last year, and beef is currently at a price point in many markets that make it difficult to compete with cheaper proteins at a time where consumers are also price conscious. Ranchers blame this decline on the rising cost of corn and soybeans, which are used to feed cattle. Dry, hot weather also means that more money needs to be spent to pump groundwater up just to keep the pasture alive for the cattle. And with the drought, many cattle were also lost due to pneumonia, which is caused by the daily temperature swings. So altogether, the weather, which makes it so that more labor is required to look after the calves, and the rising cost of feed has created the perfect storm. While beef consumption is declining in many parts of the world, Asia and other emerging markets are beginning to increase beef consumption in their diets. China imported 1.69 million tons of beef from all over the world, which is a 200,000-ton increase from the same period in 2021. As of now, beef prices in the Chinese market is around 9.5 per kilogram, which adds up to only a 1% rise within the last year. The increase in beef consumption in China can be attributed to an overall lifestyle improvement and growing middle class. Historically, China has been the largest pork consumer in the world, but now beef is taking its fair share. While pork occupied 95% of all meat consumption in China in 2014, as of 2020, it dropped to 73% market share. At the same time, beef climbed up to occupy 9.3% of the market share, and it's still growing. Since 2019, China surpassed the U.S. to become the biggest beef importer in the world. Amy Smith, Vice President of Advanced Economic Solution, is back with us. So, Amy, what is the average margin for a cattle rancher selling beef?
Yeah, so that's kind of a tough question because it really depends on a lot of factors. If you look at, I do kind of a index calculation based off of feed costs, you know, relative to how much cattle we're selling for. For all intents and purposes, for the better part of, the last, well, since before the Ukraine war started, so early 2022, feed prices have increased about 15 to 20%. If you look pre-pandemic, feed prices have increased north of 50%. That just goes to show the inflationary pressures that not only consumers are feeling, but producers that produce the product that you're consuming are feeling as well. I would say depending on regions and also depending on cattle weights and that sort of thing. I would say margins are pretty tight at this point. We are starting to see that loosen a little, as cattle prices start to increase because we are seeing less available cattle out there. There was a pretty big sell-off over the course of the last several years because of high feed costs, because of drought conditions in the U.S. And so we're going to be seeing tighter cattle supplies and thus tighter beef supplies as well.
Now, what country has the highest price for beef right now, and what is contributing to the price inflation for beef?
So I don't know the highest country from a pricing standpoint. My guess would probably be an Asian country such as China or Japan. Japan and China, I think, is number one and number three as the top exporting country or exporting partner with the U.S. on the beef side of things. So they export quite a bit of U.S. product or import, excuse me. As far as what's contributing to the price inflation for beef, has a lot to do with, you know, what I talked about on the inventory side. I mean, we're seeing as the start of the year, we're seeing an overall cattle inventory down 3% here in the U.S. We've also seen a breeding herd, which, you have to have mama cows in order to have baby cows. Those mama cows have been, sold off because producers can't afford to feed them, or the pasture has dried up and there's no, nothing for them to eat. And so that beef cow herd is down, I think it's 3.6% in the last year. And that's actually the lowest we've seen since the early 60s. So if you think about that and you compare that to how many more people we have in the world from, the early 60s, that's a pretty big, significant impact. And until, we kind of get a turnaround on some of this drought situation, we're probably going to see price inflation on beef, for the foreseeable future. It takes a lot longer to produce a calf that turns into either a heifer or a steer that ends up going to market than it does to produce a chicken. A chicken takes a couple of months, whereas, a cow takes a couple of years.
Now, while all food items and meats have experienced price inflation, it is not proportional. Which meats now have experienced higher price inflation than others, and why?
So we just talked about beef. That's probably a real big one. The other one would be turkey, and that has, again, a lot to do with high path avian influenza, similar to what we talked about on the egg side. They've seen, somewhere around 9.8 million birds impacted since, I think, February, so within the last 12 months. So that's been a pretty big shock to the overall turkey industry. If you're looking at, pork has certainly seen some, big inflation, pressures, from a retail value, we're talking overall pork, it was still up somewhere around, 2 to 3% versus a year ago. It started the year up 15% versus a year ago. So we've seen a little bit of inflation correction there. Pork has less inventory as well. I think overall producers of a lot of livestock are, just uncertain about where the world's going right now. If there's going to be an overall economic slowdown, recession, I hate to use the R word, but is there going to be a recession? And that tends to decrease overall demand. So producers don't want to flood the market or the, supply side of things if demand's going to end up dropping.
Is the overall demand for beef growing or shrinking around the world? And is there enough supply to keep up with demand?
I would say overall beef demand's increasing. Like I said, we continue to see U.S. exports of beef. I think it was up about 3% on a volume basis for 2022 to places like, China continues to be a big partner, with regards to U.S. beef as well as Japan. I think supplies are going to tighten over the next couple of years. We have other places like, Brazil is a big beef producer, and so is, Australia. And you know, those locations, you know, are looking pretty decent from a overall production standpoint. But I still think overall we're probably going to see, you know, lower beef production. And then that's kind of when economics kicks in, right? You have less supply, prices tend to go higher until demand backs off. So I don't think we're going to run out of product by any means, but, you know, we could see, you know, high prices to help, you know, offset that less supply.
Thank you so much, Amy Smith, for joining us today. As prices rise, it seems like the consumers are the ultimate losers who now have to find alternative sources of protein. The winners, though, are poultry and pork ranchers who now see increased demand for their cheaper proteins. In 2022, chicken consumption reached over 90 million metric tons, which is double the amount eaten in 1999. That is more than three times the growth rate of pork and 10 times that of beef. Global chicken consumption is on track to account for 41% of all meat eating by 2030. But despite high demand among consumers, poultry is still facing headwinds that could slow its momentum as the crisis in Ukraine continues to inflate the cost of grain that goes into the animal feed and the latest strain of bird flu going around. Poultry producers could be forced to raise their prices as well if they have trouble growing supply. I'm Christy Ai. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you back here next time on The Cost of Everything.